Terry Savage joins us now, the money lady at terrysavage.com, the syndicated financial columnist. Afternoon, Terry. I hope you're doing well.
Absolutely. And I am watching that same tragedy, too. This is the kind of thing that you, I mean, this is civilization. This is not wilderness burning.
I thought about that. Because a lot of times when you see these sorts of things, it's in areas that aren't that populated. And in this case, these are densely populated areas.
Yeah, we haven't seen the end of this. So yeah, there's a financial aspect of it, but there's something much, much greater.
You talked about the Social Security Fairness Act, and boy, folks had a lot of questions about that yesterday. Like, when am I going to see
exactly
a difference? Talk a little more about that this week, Terry.
Okay, I'm going to file this under Don't Hold Your Breath. I mean, let's just talk about the facts of this. And I've had so many posts. I was on WGN Channel 9 this morning and mentioned it. And the next thing you know, I had another 15 or 20 questions. So all the answers are up there, and there's an update on the column. This windfall elimination provision and the GPO, government pension offset, have been repealed. That applies to people who worked and had covered earnings, money they paid in by FICA, at least 10 years, 40 quarters, and had earned a Social Security benefit, but didn't get it because there was this offset because they also had a public pension. Now, as a result of that, those people will be entitled to their full earned Social Security benefits. This is not people who were teachers and never contributed to Social Security, but people who did pay in will get the benefits they have earned. And more, equally, perhaps more importantly, the widowed spouses who didn't get, let's just say, you were a teacher, a woman, and your husband had a corporate job, and he, as a widow, you would be entitled to his full Social Security benefit, which is probably a good benefit. You found out that because of your pension, your pension, you could not get his full benefit. Now that will stop too. So that's the law. That's number one. That's how it works.
Yeah.
Number two, the way they wrote it was, because they were negotiating this all last year, they said as of year-end 2023, in other words, starting in 2024, this would happen, assuming when they start writing this law that it would pass in May or June or July or August. Well, it didn't pass till year-end. It gets signed till this year. So not only are you entitled to your full benefit now going forward, if you earned it, but theoretically, or actually, practically, Social Security is obligated to make up to you the difference of what you would have been entitled to all last year, 2024. So now, just 1 year, not back the last 18 years where your pension was reduced, but starting for January 2024. So maybe that added $400, $500, $600 a month to your check times 12 months. So that could be a nice amount. Now here's the reality. Remember our wonderful Social Security commissioner? He left. The one who limited, I actually had some sad news from a call with Larry Kotlikoff this morning, and it was just sort of hearsay, but there's a new commissioner coming in, former CEO of Fiserv, which is a sophisticated financial services company, and some talk about, oh, you know, that 10% limitation, maybe they'll do away with that. I hope not. But at any rate, we know that Social Security's systems have been messed up for a long time. Part of the clawbacks, all those big clawbacks, they never did claw back from many people the amounts they were supposed to because they were receiving a pension. But the history is going to stay the same. The question is, how can they reprogram their computers to, number one, give you the full benefit going forward, not reduced by the WEP, and number two, make up the difference that you were supposed to be paid for 2024? And fortunately, we have a very sophisticated financial services CEO going in to take over the reins of Social Security, but it remains to be seen when you'll start seeing your larger check.
Yeah. Okay. Well, but you do expect that it will happen, right?
That's the law, so it's supposed to happen. I mean, okay. Yeah.
What an interesting question. What an interesting answer. Okay, talk to me about the January stock market.
Okay, let's talk about this for a moment. there's some buzzwords. People have heard them. There's the Santa Claus rally. Guess what? We didn't have one this year. Let's forget about that. The January barometer has a pretty, I'm not going to go into details, has a pretty high correlation of if the market is up in January, it should be up for the rest of the year. And it has some really strong correlations. It doesn't tell you how if it's up X percent, then the year should be X plus percent or anything like that. But the most interesting one I followed for years is the first 5 days of January, which also has a good track record of predicting January. Now, let me give you some details because we are here the fifth day. And tomorrow, by the way, will be a trading holiday because of Jimmy Carter's funeral. So in the last 48 years, when the first 5 trading days were up, I'll tell you where we are in a minute. Okay.
Yeah, okay.
When they were up, the market gained, averaged a gain of 14.2%, ending the year higher 40 times out of the last 48 years. This, by the way, comes from the Stock Trader's Almanac, now published by Jeff Hirsch, but created by Yale Hirsch. He and his wife were good buddies and good friends. And I used to, when I started on TV, I'd interview him every year. So in the 26 years when the first 5 days were down, the market averaged just a 0.3% increase, and it was up just 12 times. So it's the first 5 days are significant historically. Now watch this. In post-presidential election years, in the last 18 years, when a new president was sworn into office, the market rose for the year 14 times. So that's something else to keep in mind. Now, where are we now? Well, at the end of Tuesday, yesterday's session, the S&P was higher by about a half of 1%. Now, let me look right now. Let me refresh. And we keep reporting it. The S&P is now, this is unbelievable, lower by 0.49, a half of 1%. Oh, no, about 0.1%. So we're sort of on the cusp today. And who knows? But it's just the interesting 5 days.
Okay, but the bottom line for then this year, based on the 5 years of January.
Typically, the first presidential election year is up. And if the first 5 days are down, it doesn't mean the market's going down. It means it's not, historically, has not been a very big up year. There have been some up years. But we will wait and see where we close today. Because now I'm looking, and the S&P is now up 0.1%.
Wow. And does this barometer care if you're up a lot, just as long as you're positive?
No, it's not. Yeah, it's not a predictor of that. But a strong first 5 days typically leads to a strong January, which historically leads to a strong year. And the edge is that on post-presidential election years, history says there's a greater likelihood you'll have an up year. And it, by the way, we've had two incredible years, 24%, 23% back-to-back.
Right.
That's not unusual. I was going to write something saying, what do you want to bet on the third year in a row? But it turns out that we've had numerous years, three in a row years of double-digit gains. So it's not impossible for the market to be up this year.
But based on your little calculator here, this does not look great
then
for January.
Based on this, I know nothing more, but it's an interesting story, so I thought I'd bring it up.
1226-312-981-7200. We'll take some questions with Terry Savage. We'll start with Ginger. You're on WGN. Ginger, how can we help you?
Hi. Quick question. I've been in contact with Social Security for the last couple of days and have gotten ridiculous answers from each one, contradicting each other. And by the way, Terry, I love that Cornerstone store, too. Okay. Anyway, my question is, they want me to report what my income has been, my TRS income has been since 2021 to present. One person says I have to do it. Another person says I don't have to do it. What I want to know is, as before the law, that amount dictated whether or not I got my husband's, dead husband's pension. Will that now also affect the amount of that spousal pension?
You know what? they don't, and let's give them credit, this was signed into law over the weekend. It was just passed, right, you know, in the over the holiday.
Understand.
They're going to get a whole new set of instructions. And you're not supposed to have to do anything. And I know it's going to take a while. I'm gearing up to call 60 Minutes and say, guess what? So you should now be entitled without any kind of reduction to get a widow's benefit, a spousal benefit if it's greater than your own, without any impact. So you can stop talking to them now and stop, because they don't know what, they don't have to ask for that anymore. But it's, nobody's told them.
That's what I thought, but I got a letter too. So should I just give it to them?
I just wouldn't even contribute that anymore. I would just, absolutely not. Now, see, what this doesn't do is stop clawbacks of overpayments from before 2024. That's another thing. If they had forgotten to do your WEP offset, which is the cause of so many clawback demands, they still have the right under this law to go back over those earlier, quote, overpayments that they mistakenly paid.
Okay,
but
Ginger,
I would just not. I just suspend everything now, and yes, you're going to go for a few more months with a reduced benefit, but theoretically and under the law, they have to get it straightened out.
Good luck, Ginger. Stay in touch. Let's go to Irene on line two. I think it is. You're on WGN. Irene,
right.
Can we help you?
Yes, I have a friend who is still working. She's 73 years old, and she is collecting Social Security. She's a divorced person. She's been divorced for 20-some years, but she's collecting on her own. And she's telling me that for Medicare, they are taking over $300 out of her Social Security check. Now, I had never heard of that. I was under the impression everybody paid for Medicare, and it was $185.
Wrong. Irene, go to terrysavage.com and read the column that says Meet Irma, I-R-M-A-A, and that is the income-related Medicare payment adjustment. And if you make a bunch of money, your Medicare Part B and Part D premium increases substantially. So the more money you make, continue to make, report, whether she was working or taking, for example, if she took RMDs that were huge because she had a multi-million dollar IRA and she had to take RMDs, that would increase her income and increase her Medicare premiums.
Thanks for the call. Terry Savage, does one need to apply to Social Security for this new benefit, or do we wait until they find us with all the relevant information?
You wait. And wait, as I said, I think this is going to be,
yeah.
I mean, I wish them the best. I really do.
Yeah.
I'll tell you an interesting story, John. I haven't shared this, but I learned about this about 5 or 6 weeks ago. Someone who works for Social Security in Chicago sent me an email and said a couple of months ago, well, I don't know exactly when it was, we had an all hands on deck meeting at the Social Security regional offices. And they played your video of you and Larry Kotlikoff on 60 Minutes. And the leader of that meeting declared you as public enemy number one to Social Security. That's what someone wrote, sent me an email. They're not anxious to be called out on their problems. I hope this new CEO, who is a former chairman of Fiserv, which is one of the most high-tech financial companies behind the scenes, can get in there and bring in a whole bunch of techies. And I hope that they in any other company, they'd be able to, if let's just say you work for a big company and your boss decrees everybody gets a 5% raise, you know they could program that into their paychecks by next weekend. But I hope Social Security, with its old and aged systems and conflicts among systems, will be able to reprogram and send you by direct deposit your bigger deserved check quickly. Again, I'm not rooting against them, but I don't want you to hold your breath.
Let's go back to your phone calls, 312-981-7200. We'll start with Carol. You're on WGN. Carol, what can we do for you?
Oh, hi, Terry. I am so afraid. I am 6 years older than my husband, so I went on Social Security and Medicare 6 years ago, and I filled out everything appropriately.
Wait,
and
Carol, let me stop you. At what age did you go on Social Security?
Oh, I was 66.
Oh, so full retirement age then. Okay.
Full retirement age. He's younger than me. So I did everything appropriately and supplied him with the information, and everything was fine for 6 years. Now, my husband, in August, he went on Social Security and Medicare, and he got an IRMA. And we filed jointly, and I'm scared to death. How come I don't have an IRMA? Am I supposed to call them?
The IRMA brackets are determined by your income, and every year they change. I'll pull them up on my computer here in a minute. And probably, you don't say anything, you may very well get an IRMA adjustment as well. IRMA, the joint income adjustment. Let me just pull this up right now and see if I can't get a listing of the brackets. But basically, most people pay $187 brackets to IRMA brackets 2025. And so, let me just single filers with income of over $106,000 get an increase. Joint filers with an income over $212,000 will find that their IRMA payments, their Medicare Part B and D drug premium deductions are larger.
But how come he has it and I don't?
Shh, don't say anything.
Okay.
They'll get around to it. No, you don't tell them. They'll get around to figuring it out.
Good luck, Carol. Thanks for the phone call. We go next to Cindy. You're on WGN with Terry Savage. Cindy, how can we help you?
Good morning or good afternoon. I have a question regarding doing a Roth conversion. My husband and I are 67 and 69, and we're both just recently signed up for Medicare, and we're thinking down the road with our required minimum distributions at 73. We do have a pretty significant portfolio, and I'm concerned that once we have to start taking those RMDs, it's going to bump our IRMA up. Is it feasible or is it prudent to do that at our age of 67 and 69?
Cindy, I couldn't have paid you for a better commercial. Not next week, because next week we'll have Dr. Bob. If you will tune in the week after that, I am posting at terrysavage.com a whole big box. I have the red box at the top of my website. For a while, it was everything you needed to know about Medicare open enrollment. Now it's everything you need to know about dealing with credit card debt. And 2 weeks from now, you will see the following. A great column. I already wrote it, sent it to my editor. It'll go in syndication. A podcast that I did with Larry Kotlikoff. I'll tell you why in a moment. And a podcast that we're going to tape Friday afternoon for our Friends Talk Money podcast. It'll be a little less complicated. There are so many things that go into the decision of when, how much would you convert? Would you do it all at once? Would you do it over 4 or 5 years? I believe, I say this on both podcasts, that Larry Kotlikoff's Maxify Financial Planner, which now includes a whole section on helping you determine all the impacts. It will impact your IRMA for a while. It will impact your tax brackets. But he's got multiple algorithms. One of the basic one for this planner is actually patented. And it is the only way, believe me, I don't need to sell this program. It is the only way that you can take into account all these variables. So everybody's going, what is she talking about? I'm telling you, I've spent a lot of time trying to understand this. If you will wait for 2 weeks from today and come back, I'm going to talk about it, but you're going to have all the articles and the podcasts up there, and you will have the answer, which is to use Maxify, M-A-X-I-F-I, planner.com, and go through their Roth conversion calculator.
Good luck to you on that. Hey, Terry, I turned 73 this June. When do I need to take an RMD?
Oh, you'll need to take an RMD for the year in which you turn 73. And so you need to keep the, if you have three IRAs, one at Fidelity, one at Schwab, one at Vanguard, you need to add those all up, your year-end 2024 total valuation, $32,000 here, $412,000 there, add it all up. There's a calculator. Go look on terrysavage.com. Scroll down under columns for RMDs, and then there's a link. Or you could go to any one of your custodians, put the total amount in, and it will tell you what you must take out sometime during the year based on the year-end, previous year-end value of your IRA.
Do you care when in the year they do that?
No, you know, here's my personal thing, but it's just a very conservative way. I actually right now have more than a couple of years of liquidity for RMDs, which tells you I'm at that point now. I don't want to have to be forced to sell investments at a time I don't want to, so I raise some cash. Now, there, you could do it any way you want. If it's like,
but any time during the year.
Any time. So you can have them pay you, you know, $500 a month if that satisfies your RMD, or $800 a month on any day of the month. But what I would warn you to do is have them withhold at least 20%. If your RMD is substantial because you have a huge IRA, talk to your accountant, because you'll either have to file quarterly or have them take out more for taxes from each RMD, so you don't get a penalty.
Good to know. 312-981-7200. Terry Savage is here. So too is Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A Chicago-based company that makes gluten-free snacks and baking mixes is being purchased by a Georgia company. Simple Mills will continue operating as is after the deal closes, according to Cranes. Flowers Foods, whose brands include Nature's Own and Wonder Bread, is buying Simple Mills for $800 million. Simple Mills was founded in 2012 and has annual revenue of about $200 million. The company makes crackers, cookies, snack bars, and baking mixes, which are sold in 30,000 stores. Half of the company's 111 employees work in Chicago. AT&T has unveiled a new guarantee program that addresses network interruptions. The AT&T guarantee will provide bill credits when there are outages of 20 minutes or more for fiber customers and 60 minutes or more for wireless customers. The company says credits will be issued for a full day of service. As part of the new guarantee, AT&T says it'll focus on swift restoration and friendly customer service. The small print says a covered outage is one caused by a single incident that impacts 10 or more towers. The policy says restrictions and exclusions apply. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food with Steve Alexander.
Yeah, thank you. And last week we heard from this living legend.
My name is Orion Samuelson, and I'd be happy to talk about the brandy old-fashioned.
Yeah, the Big O is passionate about his favorite cocktail, Wisconsin's official, by the way. Pitching in was Bob Prosser of Ishnala Supper Club.
We served 118,500 old fashions in 200 days.
But off air, Bob and I also talked about the challenges facing the restaurant business, and it was surprising to hear what he said about finding people to work at Ishnala, which I will share with you after we thank the Chevy Silverado for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a Silverado in your toolbox. Find out how at ChevyDriveChicago.com. Okay, if there's one thing restaurant owners have had in common the past few years, it has been the difficulty in attracting and keeping employees. And one might think that the Ishnala Supper Club would have a harder time than most because it's only open 200 days a year and is fairly remote, near the Dells, about 2.5 hours from Madison. One might think that, but one would be wrong.
We have waiting lists for staff when the rest of the world is hurting for staff.
Bob Prosser says he's been in the restaurant business a long time and he's never experienced the kind of environment at Ishnala.
It's a seasonal restaurant and I have 140 employees and 95% came back this year, which is unheard of.
And the secret sauce at Ishnala?
Passion, number one. It starts with me. I am so passionate about what we do. I'm so proud of what we do. I want people to have a great time. And I expect my staff to share that passion.
And some Ishnalians have been coming back year after year after year.
It starts out as a summer job from college or whatever. And they end up coming back every year because it works out well for the schedule. My chef's been with me 20 years. I've got a prep cook that's been there 28 years. Some of the servers, you know, 15, 20 years.
Bob Prosser of Ishnala Supper Club, up there overlooking Mirror Lake in Wisconsin. On the food calendar, I don't know if this pairs well with an old-fashioned, but it's National English Toffee Day. I'm Steve Alexander. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
Terry Savage on Wednesday. Ready for more questions?
One quick point. I really want to make this point. If you ask 9 out of 10 people on the street what's happening with interest rates, they would say, oh, yeah, rates are going down. The Fed's been cutting. I even know that. Not true, and I want you to be aware of it. The Fed can cut and control to a certain extent short-term rates. Longer-term rates are set by the bond market, by the global buyers of U.S. treasuries, big institutions and foreign central banks, etc. Since the Fed started cutting short-term rates last September, longer-term rates, that on the 10-year Treasury note, have gone up by 1 full percentage point. Today we're talking about 4.7%. That's happened for a couple of reasons. You have some inflation fears. Part of it is the good news that the economy is growing and strong, so maybe the Fed won't be able to cut. So that's kept rates higher, and there's a growing recognition that the government's going to be borrowing a lot more money because of its deficits. That's part of it. Those 10-year rates are used to set your mortgage rates. Mortgage rates have gone back up firmly over 7% on a 30-year fixed. I know we talk about that here a lot. If you are about to lock in a mortgage, lock in your mortgage. I can't see any reason why at this point that mortgage rates will come down for a while. And if you're not getting at least 4% on your CDs or money market account, find a place that is. 6-month Treasury bills currently yielding almost 4.3%. End of story.
Hey, Terry Savage, I'm 55 years old and I have about $120,000 in a 401k. My home's worth about $600,000. I have various other money and checking and savings totaling about $30,000. I don't plan on retiring until hopefully I'm 70. But what should I be doing better with my money now? I'm still working.
You should be saving more. I never heard anybody who regretted saving more while they were working and contributing more to that 401k. You still have time, especially if you're not going to retire for nearly 20 years, to keep contributing to that plan. And think about what you're spending now. This is a very good time, not only time of the year, but a good time at your stage of life, to get some advice from a fee-only fiduciary. What does that mean? Someone who fully discloses, I'll go over your stuff with you, and if all you want is just a review, let's talk about it for a minute. Yeah, this will be the fee. No, I don't sell you anything. I'm not trying to make a commission. I'm not trying to move your accounts anywhere. That's what you want, independent, talented, unbiased, trusted advice. Where do you get that? The only place I know is through Pam Krueger, my friend. We do the Friends Talk Money podcast. There's a link on my website. I get nothing out of this. Go directly there, wealthramp.com. She will match you up with two or three. You'll have a little conversation. Then you'll say, yeah, maybe I'll just have one meeting with you. And then maybe you'll say, you know, I want to sign up. Could we do this once a year? That's what a financial planner does who's not trying to sell you life insurance or move your accounts and charge you assets under management or commissions.
Yep.
Okay.
All right, what about this? Hey, Terry, I'm preparing to retire in April. I'm 64 years old, and I have a combined 401k with Fidelity, an Ameriprise brokerage account worth $1.2 million. My house is paid for. It's worth about $750K, and I've got $60,000 in the bank. Should I begin to take withdrawals from Fidelity Ameriprise accounts or Social Security? I'm 64.
Neither. Honestly, you should live on your savings or delay your retirement until your full retirement age, which we'll call 67, just about that. First of all, you're going to be bored stiff. You're too young to retire. So see if you can continue working, even if you're not working as an employee. Maybe you can go on the rolls as a consultant. You don't have insurance at 64. You have to wait till 65 for Medicare.
But here's, I think, the thrust of this question. If they've got money earning interest with Fidelity Ameriprise, then...
That's not the question. I'm not answering the question because it's the wrong question.
I can't believe you're not addressing the fact that they're thinking about taking Social Security and leaving their money in place.
Stop for a second.
I don't want to stop. I've got about 45 seconds left.
Okay. do not retire yet. Number one, you need your health insurance until you're 65.
They didn't ask you that, but go ahead.
But that's critical. That's very critical. You need your health insurance. Number two, do not take Social Security until your full retirement age. But don't start taking withdrawals from those accounts that can keep growing tax deferred for you. Figure out a way to either live on your after-tax savings or to earn enough income to live on to bridge this two-year gap if you insist on retiring. But for sure, don't retire without health care.
What would be
and you
the
have to wait
sin?
To 65
what would
for
be
that.
The, what would be the first or biggest mistake this person would make?
Retiring without before you get to Medicare age.
I was thinking Social Security. COBRA's
going to be COBRA's going to be hugely expensive. So that's the first. Wait till full retirement age. Absolutely for Social Security and to 70 if you can afford it.
Yeah.
You need another plan. I know it sounds great to say I'm not going in after this December or whatever it is. Think longer term. And you too. Go to wealthramp.com. If you want to take my advice, go find a fee-only fiduciary. That's what I am, and I don't even charge you a fee. I know I'm right about this.
TerrySavage.com, that's her website. She's the syndicated financial columnist, and she'll join us again next Wednesday. All right, Terry, well done.
Guess what, John?
What?
Next Wednesday, Dr. Bob, the economic forecast. Will the market be up this year? There's someone who might know.
Hey, John Williams, please ask Terry, what kind of food do racehorses like? The answer is fast food. I know she loves horses, says one of our... Thank you, Terry.
Thank you.